So we're going to do a whole bunch of scripture this morning. I'm going to try and lay some foundation for the series that we can look at it, that we go and we will say, my child shall not be part of that 85%. I will not be part of that 85%. I want to be devoted. Now, a New Testament church, and that's the cry of our heart. We want to be a New Testament church, but a New Testament church, a lot of people don't want a New Testament church because it's demanding. There are demands on us. It's like the same as, and this is not legalism, there is a demand. If you go and read the parables of Jesus Christ, every parable requires a response. Otherwise, we can just read it as a good old story. But if we take the parables seriously, it requires a response from us. And I'm hoping out of this, we require a response out of you. Are we truly partnering and opening your emails every morning and reading? Now, I can't tell who is and who isn't, okay? So, just be free. But are we together in this thing? This is something for us as a body to do together. So, let's have a look at some scriptures. Colossians 2:6-4 says, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And I've tried to help you with the diagram there. We are rooted, built up, established. If we don't understand and know who God is and who we are in God, what our identity, what our position is in Christ Jesus, we will fall for anything. And then we will fall for the idea that the virgin birth was unnecessary. It was just a story. I'm going to get a little bit passionate about it this morning. I'm not angry or cross with anybody. I'm just excited. Okay? Okay, there we go. Let's go. John 15:8-9. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. We have a mandate to abide in His love, to be connected with Him, to bear fruit. How are we doing? Acts 2:42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. I know NIV, I think, says and prayer. It's still plural though. The point is that a modern day New Testament people have a very low tolerance for prayer. Like I said, I can't tell who's opening, but I'm just seeing. Who arrives at the time of prayer at 10 o'clock on a Wednesday morning? Who comes to our family gathering on a Wednesday night when we gather to pray? Scripture says the Father does naught without prayer. I want to encourage you, not admonish you, because that's not what I do. I want to encourage you, start taking prayers seriously. Start taking seeking the Father seriously. Deeper, higher, wider. Philippians 3:13. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Hear Paul's heart in this thing. And when I read it, I was like, again and again, you know, sometimes you read scripture and you go, okay, that didn't mean anything to me. And then other times you read it and it jumps out at you and it comes to life and you get all excited about it. Well, here we have Paul in prison, awaiting execution, and he's making plans for his future. Yeah, Dom said tomorrow is supposed to be the most depressing day. No, well, we're going to say, no, it's not going to be. We're going to go, man, I don't know what you're talking about. We are not part of that stat. We are actually going to live as King's kids tomorrow. We're going to be excited about what is tomorrow. I mean, Tuesday, Bridget and I landed 6:30 p.m., Tuesday, 17th of January, 2005. We are so 12-year So we've been in Canada. And that's the first time I heard that stat, and I'm like, what? I know all about SADs and all that kind of stuff. But we don't go there. We don't allow ourselves to be dragged there. We don't go, yeah, well, society, because if we listen to everything society says for secular Christianity, we are sunk. And that's why we need to have this devotion to Jesus Christ, devoted to the teaching, devoted to fellowship, devoted to breaking of the bread, and devoted to prayers. When you gather in your homes, when you gather together, when we call it as a prayer, we should be excited about being there. Not because it's a duty, please. Never because it's a duty. Paul says five important things, but one thing I do. Forgetting what lies behind. He's saying who I was, what I did, where I've come from. He goes on and says how I behaved. And this is an encouragement to us. Straining forward to what lies ahead. He knows what lies ahead, but he don't care. He's like, I'm straining for, I'm making plans for the future, but God. And we're going to say, we all have situations. We all have circumstances. We all have tough times. But we got to go, but God. I'm straining for it. I'm devoted to this. I'm moving forward. He says on, I have an eagerness and devotion to what God has ahead for me. That's how we should be thinking. Well, this week's going to be tough. I've got to go to work. You know, remember I preached a message here some time back. Thank goodness it's Friday. You know we say that? Thank goodness it's Friday. We should be going, thank goodness it's Monday. Why? Because I have this amazing job. I have this amazing group of people that I go and get to preach to and to minister to and to be the light in the darkness, in a dark world. That should be our mind bent. Not like, whew, it's good. Thank goodness it's Friday. Absolutely. We should also be going, thank goodness it's Monday, man. I get to go and shine my light amongst my workmates at school, where at college, at university, wherever I am. This is a great opportunity for me. I press on towards the goal, the scopus. That's what the word means. For the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I see the goal, I see the upward call, I see that I'm pressing on to this. And we have to understand that the imagery here is the same as finishing the race. Breasting the tape, being the first one to breast the tape, or taking an arrow and shooting it into a target and hitting the bullseye. The prize is the fullness of the blessing and the rewards in the age to come. We live with eternity in our hearts. Especially being in perfect fellowship with Christ Jesus. If I could say this, if we don't have any goals, we will hit the mark every time. Let me say that again. If we don't have any goals, we will hit the mark every time. I'm devoted to a deeper, higher, wider call than just leaving 2016 behind. And I know we're into the third week of the new year already, but that's okay. Because we can go, well, you can berate yourself if you like about 2014 and 2013 and 2014 and 2015 and 2016. You can do that if you want. But I want to be like Paul. I'm leaving what behind. I'm just moving forward for the higher upward call of God. Because we can all, if we sat down and we went through the whole room, we could say, well, what goal did you set for 2016 that you didn't achieve? And we could all pull our hands up. That's okay. Let's make 2017 the greatest year of our lives. Spiritually speaking, of course. And everything else that comes with it. I believe truly in my heart, God is calling us deeper so that we can go higher and wider. So we can have how firm a foundation can we have? Well, I've said it many times. Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit have given us everything that we already need for life and for godliness. It's not like, well, He's holding out on us. if I'm a little bit better, if I pray more, if I read my Bible more, if I come to church 7 days a week more, He's going to love me more. No. No matter what I've done, no matter where I've been, no matter how far I've fallen, He will pick me up again. Why? Because He's a God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances. Because He loves us. Well, if I'm naughty, God's going to punish me. Bad theology. He's not going to punish you. Isaiah 43:18 says, "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." And you go, "Yeah, my, that is such a well-worn scripture. That is so cliched." People say, "No, no, stop, stop, stop. It's God's word." And I know some people, you know, "How are you doing? Oh, I'm the head and I'm not the tail and I'm blessed and I'm this and I'm that." No, 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 but really, how are you doing? You hear what I'm saying? We've got to learn to take the scripture and apply it as it's meant to be applied. The original Exodus out of Egypt did not tire God out, did not take away all His power, didn't have a problem with it. But this is a verse where we take, wherever we need an Exodus, take hold of the scripture. If you need an Exodus, we're going to look at some stuff that you might need Exodus from. The original one didn't exhaust God, as I've said. It provided a pattern of new Exodus-like deliverances. Similar to the Jewish exiles, we mustn't live in the past, but look to God to take us into the future and home eventually one day. Babylon was another exodus, away in the wilderness. And where there is no clear path, if you cannot see a clear path for 2017 right now, God will make a way. God will create rivers in the desert where all you can see is desert. He will create rivers. Where there's no natural relief or refreshment, He will bring supernatural relief and refreshment for us. I believe this series is going to help us make some great decisions in 2017. Did you make great decisions in 2016? Yeah, we made some. Were they all great? Yeah, no. I'm telling you, if we are devoted, Acts 2:42. Let that be your mantra. Let that be your prayer. If we get that right, if we get to the plummet the depths. Now I think it's in Deuteronomy 29:29. It says there's things that are hidden and things that are secret that belong to God, but He's revealed what He's revealed. So let's take hold of what He's revealed to us, because we're never going to plumb the depths of who God is. Well, I know who God is. I've got God all sorted. No. All we need to know is He is a great Father. Paul says, "But one thing I do." One thing I do. What would be that one thing that you do? Maybe you have some unhealthy habits that you want to get rid of. You know, I don't have to name them, but you know, maybe some of you indulge too much in some stuff. Too much tobacco, too much alcohol, too much social media. Y'all listen to me. Too much internet, the wrong kind of internet. Relationships. Now we love one another, but some relationships can be toxic. And we have to learn what relationships are toxic. Do they build me up or do they bring me down? Every time I walk away from that person, I feel like Monday. I feel so depressed. That's a toxic relationship. You know, I've preached on before, VIPs, VDPs, VVPs, all those kind of P's. Very important people, very influencing people. VDPs, very draining people. The pastor, how can you say that stuff? I'm trying to help you. Some of your relationships are just too flirtatious. Your marriages need strengthened. Some of you have just become roommates, perhaps. and need the marital fire rekindled. Instead of adding more debt, get on the offensive and tackle your debt and become debt free. Make this a year that you're going to say, we're going to be debt free. I'm telling you, you've never breathed deep and felt so light on your shoulders when you walk debt free. Yeah, we still got the mortgage on the house. Yeah, well, everyone has. I'm still trying to pay off my car. That's not the kind of debt I'm talking about. Health. You know, Hamlet in Shakespeare said, get thee to a nunnery. Some of you need to, including me, get thee to a gym. I have my external gym. It's called Shoveling Snow. And I have a good workout every single time. Dreams. Are there things you've procrastinated on? Dreams that God has placed inside of you? That you keep going on and on and on. Well, we'll get there, we'll get there, we'll get there. Let's 2017 be a great year for you. Take hold of that dream and make it a living reality for you. I say again, 2017 has the potential to be your best year ever. Philippians 3:14, Paul says, I press on towards the goal. I'm in chains, but I'm pressing on towards the goal. Wrap your head around that a little bit. For the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, in all of those things that we just spoken about, habits, related, debt, health, those are all like natural things that we get hold of and sometimes not so simply grasp, but we should grasp hold of it, is that we are spiritual beings having a human experience on earth. Thank you. We all have some adventures in life, and through frustrations we have realized that our efforts are not enough. And that's why we get frustrated and we go 2013, 2014, 2015, 2016, and so on and so forth. But we're going to kill this thing in for 2017, right? Amen. Yeah, no, this is good preaching, Mark. Amen. Hallelujah. I feel the power. Woo! When you think I can do this on my own, hear me clearly, especially the men, when you think you can do this on your own, you have missed the point completely. You can't do it on your own. Even these natural things, you can't do them on your own. God is calling us to go deeper, higher, wider. The truth is, there is something that is available to you which is powerful and energizing, and it is not the natural life, but the supernatural life. When we learn to hook in to the supernatural life, when we hook in and take the Word of God seriously, when we come to worship and we just dial out. Why don't you stop repeating the song? No. Plug into the power of God. You won't know that they repeated it. Yeah, when I started out as a young Christian, I used to get into church and all these crazy charismatics around me, dancing. I'm like, yeah, no, you people are weird, man. But I didn't know what to do with my hands. Because, you know, Steve Hawkins, that Christian comedian, he does the whole thing on hands. Go and have a look. Go and watch it. I know. Do it before you come to Sunday so you can work it through, because you get here, you won't know whether to do this or this or this or this. Very funny. Very challenging. But I used to go, of course, I used to stand like this most of the time. Yeah, because like, check me out. I'm the man, you know. You people are weird. And then I put my hands in my back pocket, because then I didn't know what to do with my hands. And I put them in my front pocket. And then and they were running around and waving flags. And I'm going, man, these people are really weird. I don't know what I'm doing here. Bridget, why'd you bring me here? In the natural, I was so uncomfortable. And then a lady who probably never ever gave a word in church ever came to me and said to me, that tugging on your heart, the feeling of uncomfortableness you have, the Holy Spirit wants to make you free. And I was like, yeah, thank you, lady. Goodbye. I'm just being honest with you. And Bridget was like, I said, listen, we'll go to that church. You got to keep the crazies away from me. Because when they come to me, I'm not going to enjoy. They might not enjoy what I say. And now you know what? I'm one of the crazies. For Jesus. Supernatural. Stepping into the supernatural power and ability that He has for all of us. We got some biblical one things. I need this thing again. Yeah, here we go. Psalm 27. David, King David, one thing I have asked of the Lord, that He will seek, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. And that inquire means to meditate upon. Do you think David was a man of devotion? Who wants to be like David? To be in His presence, to dwell on, to see with His beauty all day long, to be close to Him. That doesn't, you know, in His name, doesn't mean now, we take it into a New Testament context, doesn't mean that that happens when we come here. It happens when we hear, but this is the temple of God. This is where I get to dwell every day with Him. This is when I get to gaze upon Him every day. Doesn't matter whether I'm on the train. Doesn't matter whether I'm on the train. If I'm on the bus, I'm driving in my car, I'm walking down the road, I'm sitting at my desk. It doesn't matter where you are, because this earthly temple is filled with the Holy Spirit and the power and the supernatural divine presence of God. And we can gaze upon Him. Don't get knuck at your workplace. You know? No, but take time. To be in His presence, to live deeper, higher, wider. There's another story. And a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to His teachings. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to Him and said, Lord, do You not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Any Marthas here? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her. Now, if you're having hosts coming, if you're hosting and you're having people, you need to do all the prep work and all that kind of stuff. You can't just like, wait. The point of the message is that when we get here, Martha took the initiative and she invited Jesus to her house. And she was the invitee and she was a great hostess. Mary sat at Jesus' feet. Martha had become a little bit distracted. And the point I want to make here is when we start out well, and after today, you know, I was talking to someone the other day, and they said, February is the best day to go and buy all the gym equipment. Because that's when they come, people take it all back again. You know, because over Christmas, we're going to get bicycles, and we're going to get tricycles, and we're going to get weights, and all that. And then come 1st of February, they take it all back again. Because they started out well, but they got distracted. I know nobody here is like that, but... Well, you watch the Olympics. You go out and buy the most expensive pair of running shoes and you wear them once. This is hard work. Yep. Martha complained to Jesus and His response is, one thing is necessary. When we are in the King's presence, make that the priority. When you are in His presence, don't get distracted. Don't allow things to distract you. Maybe we should do it here. We've never done it here, but the church I come from in South Africa, they used to every now and then have this 24-hour prayer vigil. And of course, my dear good wife used to sign us up for it, which was a good thing, except she used to sign us up for the 2 to 3 o'clock slot, a.m. I was like, babes, I've got to get up and go to work in the morning. Why are you doing this? You know how many times we got up, and wake up in bed, and we lay there, and our job was to phone the next person at 3 o'clock in the morning to tell them you're up. And we'd lay in the bed and we'd start to pray. We had a direction. We would pray something. And they went. Did we call the right people? So we had to get up and get out of bed so that we didn't fall asleep, because we'd get distracted at 2 o'clock in the morning. We're supposed to be praying fervently for the lost or something important. And yeah, what is the name of that guy? He used to get up to do his morning devotions, but he used to get up like 5 o'clock in the morning to do his devotions and then fall asleep and never got it done. So he decided the best way to make sure he stayed awake was when he got up, he went and stood on the edge of the bath. Because if he fell asleep, I'll leave it up to you to figure out what's going to happen. And that's how he disciplined himself, trained himself to get up and do it. You know, we all think that doing devotions and the prayer time that we're doing here, oh, that's so spiritual. No, it's not. What do you mean? It's a discipline. But when we get to do it, that's where the spiritual kicks in. That's when the power of God kicks in. That's when the Holy Spirit kicks in. That's when our revelation kicks in. But if we are not disciplined to do it, if we are not devoted to do it, you'll never get it done. And 2017 will go by just another year. So we step into 2017. I want to talk about three things and then we'll be done. I will be devoted to making the most of 2017. Don't be found in the kitchen when you should be at the Master's feet. Do you hear what I'm saying? Don't be found in the kitchen when you should be at the Master's feet. Ephesians 5:15. Look carefully. Look carefully, then you will know how you should walk. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. They were evil then, and they are evil now. I know we are headed for a heavenly place. We are seated in heavenly places, but we still live on planet Earth, and we live in a fallen world. We live in the kingdom now and the kingdom to come. And sometimes we allow the fallen world to embrace us and take us and distract us, as Martha thought Mary was being, or Martha was distracted. But we don't want to do that. Make the most of every opportunity. We live in a great country. We have a great church, which is not the building, as you, the people, or us. I encourage you all, make 2017 the best year of your lives. Get involved in serving at the bridge here. Involve yourself in a connect group, in the prayer meetings, in ladies' ministry, men's ministry, kids' ministry, whatever ministry we have here. Get involved. Get active. You know, normally it's 20% of the church that runs and the 80% hang around. How cool would it be if we were the 80%, 20% church? Because we want to be devoted. Because we want to be devoted to teaching. We want to be devoted to fellowship. We want to be devoted to the breaking of the bread. We want to be devoted to times of prayer. I feel like a Pentecostal preacher. Can I get an amen? Thanks, Michael. Oh, yeah. The second thing, I will be devoted to eradicating distractions. Even thought of the good things you have become involved in that prevent you from being involved in the great things. A lot of stuff we do is good, but is it preventing you from being involved in the great things? Being involved in the King's business, being involved. You know, Christianity, sometimes we see that as, this is my life, this is my job, this is what I do, this is how I do it, and then I take Christianity and I bolt it onto this thing. And it becomes an attachment. So we come to church on Sunday and that's it. Do you hear little Chudy says, I only spend X amount of hours in Sunday school, that's not good enough. That's the point he was making. It's not enough. I encourage you, parents, it's not enough. Sit down at dinner table. Sit down and read the Word. Sit down and pray with your children. Lead them into worship on a Sunday morning. How are the children going to learn how to worship if you are distracted? Well, my dad just sits down and he's like, cool. He's a cool dude. I don't know how to do this worship thing. I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to read the Bible. This is the parental, this is not the Sunday school teacher's deal. Whew. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Can you imagine, can you see the imagery of the heroes of faith leaning over the parapets of heaven, looking down and watching us in our little lives here, and they are shouting, go, go, go. And they are encouraging us, and they are getting us to go forward. And this is not a sprint, this is a marathon. It takes endurance, it takes time, it takes discipline. There will be times of testing that come along that will require endurance. Whilst we might take hold of this image of courage and run this race, we do it with our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Hebrews 12:2. Looking to Jesus. It's not about us. It's not about those that are watching us. It's not about those that are encouraging us, which is all good because we all like encouragement. We all like to hear, well done. But it's looking to Jesus, having our gaze fixed on Him. No distractions like Mary, sitting at the feet of Jesus like Mary, focused and devoted to eradicating distractions, any and all. Lastly, I'm devoted to prioritizing the presence of Jesus in my life. Jesus be the center of my life. It's not just a cute song. We should take that as a national anthem for ourselves here. Philippians 3:7. But whatever gain I had counted as loss for the sake of Christ, Paul speaking, indeed I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. In chapter 3, he starts off Paul demolishing all his dependence, all his natural bent, all his natural stuff. He says, my pedigree doesn't mean much. You know, I'm the Jew of Jews. I'm the Pharisee of all Pharisees. I've done this, I've done that, circumcised on the eighth day. You know who I am. He says, it's rubbish. Means nothing. He declares his pedigree and achievements as dung, if you read the King James. Everything is a loss except knowing Christ Jesus. We want to be devoted to prioritizing the presence of Jesus in my life. Where are we? In Philippians 3:13 we read, brothers, I do not consider I've made it my own. Made what his own? But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God. In chapter 3, verses 7, 8 are the answer and the response to verses 13 and 14. You can go and check it later. But in Philippians 4, verse 5, he says this, let your reasonableness be known to everyone, the Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Prayer should be our first response, not our last resort. Think about that. Prayer should be our first response, not our last resort. And I know we get caught up, and the point I'm making is we get caught up in the natural. Because you are gifted, because you are smart, because you might be degreed, and because you are good at your job, and because you have a great life and a great marriage and great kids. And then the pawpaw hits the proverbial fan. And then prayer is your last resort. When in actual fact, we could have just been upfront, devoted. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to prayers, and the breaking of bread. I've turned it around a little bit. My heart for this year is that we would be devoted to Jesus. That we would know the Word of God. That we would understand who we are in Christ. Who belongs to whom. Well, I'll just sacrifice and do this for you. No. Jesus sacrificed on the cross. Me coming to church and doing and you doing it is not a sacrifice. We do that for the joy of the Lord. We do it for our brothers and sisters here. You're not sacrificing. If I just shoot that myth away, well, I'm just going to come early and sacrifice. What are you sacrificing? Let's think about it. No, Jesus sacrificed. He sacrificed. He died and he bled upon the cross so that we don't have to, that we can live in liberty and freedom and have this abundant life. John 10:10. That we can flourish in his glory, that we can flourish in his word, that we can understand when it says we are seated in heavenly places, that we go, I know what that means. When it says that I am a child of the King, I know what that means. When I say Jesus is my brother, he is my master, he is my Lord, he is my Savior, he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, I know what that means. You know, you've got to know it in your knower. You know, sometimes, well, my gut tells me. Yeah, we can talk about that too. I call it intestinal fortitude. We got to know what the King of Kings, who the King of Kings is. What the sacrifice of the cross. We say it easy. You know, it's all finished. It's finished upon the cross. I might be belaboring it this morning, but I would not be doing my job as the pastor or your pastor if I did not emphasize this, if I did not encourage you into this, if I did not say, guys, let's come on, let's do this together. Let's become devoted to Him. If any of this has touched your heart this morning, any of those 3 points I made, any of the stories we told, any of the encouragement I gave you, just take time now. Do business with God. Say, Lord, 2016 was a sort of great year, or actually was a terrible year. Or, you know, things that I started, I got distracted. Jesus, I want to focus on you. I want to get to know who you are. I want to be more devoted to you, Jesus. I want to live the life of a New Testament church. Holy Spirit, would you help me this morning? I embrace this message. I embrace your word, God. I take it to heart, Lord God. I love every one of you dearly. This is not for me. This is for yourself. This is that we do not become part of the reductionism of secular Christianity. That we do not be confused about who we are, what we have been called to. Paul, in the most distracted place of his life, chained in prison, waiting execution, is making plans for his future. Jesus, we want to make plans for our future. We're not in that kind of place. God, we don't want to be distracted. We want to read your word. We want to know your word. Holy Spirit, would you speak to us as we delve into your word? As I come and live a worshipful lifestyle. Lord, let my prayers go up to your heart and your mind, Lord. Father, I want to do better. I'm saying for myself too. You can say for yourself. I want to do better in 2017. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you for your unstinting grace towards us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are a God of second and third and fourth chances. Thank you, Lord God, for the power, the supernatural divine power to break distractions over my life, Lord. God, we seize this opportunity to call on you, Lord. Mighty God, awesome Father, good, good Father. Thank you for your love towards us, Lord. Blessed be your name, Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen, Amen.